Hello. The nugget for today, or the question for today, is prophecy for today. Now, prophecy is one of those terms in Christianity that is often misunderstood. And there are at least two incorrect concepts about prophecy. The first is that it's a type of fortune telling, or looking into the future for answers. Now, we're often influenced by the media, movies, TV, and books, to believe that, number one, it's real and that it's okay. But prophecy is not fortune-telling as much as forth-telling. Fortune-telling is predicting what may happen based on spiritual insight or quote-unquote gifting. Prophecy, on the other hand, is stating what God says will happen. Now, the difference may seem slight. The origins may be spiritual in nature for both. But, and a very big but, is that fortune-telling is not from God, and it is actually demonic. The second issue is that we often take the model of a prophet from the Old Testament. Now, we know that God always wants to communicate with his people. And the covenant of the Old Testament, it was with the Jews. God chose certain individuals among the Jews to be his voice among his people. And it's clear that the prophets of old did not have the Holy Spirit living in them, but the word says that the Holy Spirit was upon them or on them. So people of the Old Testament went to the prophets and the priests to hear from God. Another important point is that Old Testament prophets were primarily used by God to give direction to the rulers and the kings of the Old Testament. Prophecy and prophets were clearly very important to Israel. The evidence of their importance is in the fact that 17 of the Old Testament books, the major and minor prophets, were inspired and written by prophets. And the primary function of these prophets was to warn the people of Israel to the consequences of walking away from him and worshiping other gods. Now, as new covenant believers, we don't see the same emphasis on prophets as in the Old Testament. And this can be understood by the fact that as believers in Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit lives in us, not simply upon us or on us. You see, God has chosen to speak to us directly about his plans. Now, I'm not saying that prophecy is unimportant today, but it clearly has a different function, and that is primarily to confirmation of what God has already said. Now, I want to be careful here. I'm not saying that the only kind of prophecy in the New Testament is personal prophecy. God can and does use the prophetic gift to speak to the church in general. Now, the New Testament makes it clear that prophecy is a spiritual gift and part of God's plan to communicate with us. I would urge you to look up Romans 12:6, 1 Corinthians 12:10, 1 Corinthians 14:1, 1 Timothy 4:14, and 2 Peter 1:19, and you'll clearly see this. But in practical terms, we can see that prophecy has three parts. There's the revelation, there's the interpretation, and then the application. Now, in revelation, this is the actual impartation from the Holy Spirit. Now, it might be audible, it might be visual, it could be in dreams or in visions. In other words, God speaks. Now, the interpretation is important because the revelation portion of it is often symbolic. It requires an interpretation. In other words, what does it mean? And then finally, the application. What do you do with the interpretation? How do you apply it? What's the course of action? And this is often the most difficult part because there's more than one way to interpret and therefore apply. Now we see in another example in Acts chapter 21, a prophet by the name of Agabus meets with the Apostle Paul. And in very dramatic fashion, he takes Paul's belt, he ties his own hands and feet, and he says, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns his belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now, that's a pretty negative prophecy. And so when the friends of Paul heard this prophetic word, they pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answers and says, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." what's vital and critical to understanding this event is to see that Paul already had a word from the Lord in the previous chapter. In other words, beforehand. In chapter 20, starting at verse 22, Paul's response to his friends and says, "And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." So as you can see, when the prophet Agabus spoke, Paul knew it was of the Lord. That is why he didn't let the cries of his friends dissuade him from his mission. When you receive personal prophecy, it should be something that the Lord has already spoken to you about. Prophecy should be the confirmation of what you know God has said. And so I pray that when you receive the prophetic word, that it will be exactly that. It'll be a confirmation of what he's been saying to you. And so God bless you. And I look forward to seeing you next time. And please do share this message.